Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
You can tell Jerry's old since he's beatboxing to the beat now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. Steffens. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. And since I just brought it up, I got the ATM with me. And what was that, Jerry?
The drum beat, man. I was having a good time. It's party time. It's a weekend.
Hey, the master's in the place to be. He's doing his thing. We got a great, great show lined up for you. We're going to hear from Spears from the Cowboys. We'll hear from Jerry's best friend, Sexy Rexy Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from the Wayne Wade, Eric Sproza. We'll also talk about a lot of football. A lot of football. Football, football, football. The conversation will focus on upcoming games as well as issues teams are facing, such as unhappy players. I'm talking about Devin Hester in that situation. Who's the better player to pick up off the waiver wires? Is it too early for Forte and Jackson to return, or are they worried about their job security? Got a lot in store for you today. But I got to bring in the ATM. So what's going on, ATM?
It's all about the ATM, always taking money. Hey, I'm glad to be here today.
I don't know whose money you taking. You ain't taking mine. Okay.
Glad to be here today. And I'm not going to be politically correct here.
Politically correct?
Yes.
All right, stuttering you, John.
You sound like a Valley white girl. Okay. What is that? What is that?
Oh, you came loaded for fair today, huh? You came loaded for fair. I got you, old timer. Anyway, that was from Joe Pesci from I believe it was Casino. Okay.
Well, it sounded like the two Wayne brothers in that movie. And they were two Valley girls.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Anyway, we got a lot in store for you. Jerry wasn't expecting this, but I'm going to give him the floor for a good 20 seconds to talk about his conquest in fantasy baseball.
Okay.
Time starts now.
Mr. Gardner had invited me to the play fantasy baseball, thinking he could take advantage of me, thinking I didn't know anything about fantasy baseball, which I really didn't, and for the first time ever, I thought about it. Excuse me?
11 seconds have passed.
For the first time ever, I was invited to play it. As a rookie, from start to finish, I was the number one seed. And the bottom line is I took home the cash. Always taking money is my mantra. Mr. Gardner gave it to me, and I am the man to do it. Always taking money. Thank you for inviting me to your league. 20 seconds is up. Thank you.
Yeah, that was more than 20 seconds. Anyway, okay.
And that was more than you expected for me to do in fantasy baseball.
It was. I didn't expect your mom to give you help on drafting and waiver wires. She did a good job. I must congratulate Mama Taylor. She's very knowledgeable. She's passed it on to her son, as all good parents should do.
Let me tell you something. I may not be the first most eloquent person, but I let my mind be eloquent for me. How's that?
Oh, you said you let your mom be eloquent for you.
No, I let my mind be eloquent for me, do my speaking for me. I may not be able to speak the spoken word eloquently enough for most people, but the mind, knowledge is power.
It's a terrible thing to waste. I understand.
Knowledge is power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Remember that.
Yes, it does. but anyway, Jerry is correct. He led from week one through the end of the season, and he won in the playoffs.
And a lot of haters out there, man. Oof.
There are. But hey, we want to say thanks to Shane Lamb for coming in second place. Good job, Shane. Peter Angelos. That's the name of his team, Peter G. Angelos.
Yes.
It was a good, hard-fought championship.
Yes, it was. And he and I exchanged pleasantries back and forth before and after the last game, unlike the other person called Truck in your league. So.
Stop it.
And that's another story. But
yes,
anyway.
All right. So we're going to keep it moving here. We're going to switch gears. Baseball is no longer the topic of discussion. Once the World Series comes around, we'll talk about it a little bit. But right now, we're going to talk about basketball. It's about that time since hockey is locked out.
Can you believe that, man? These owners, and not to digress from this, but because this is the third sport to do it, is to lock the players out. I mean, you got to think this must be the growing trend now. You know, the owners are puffing their chests out, feeling good about themselves, trying to throw their economical weight around and get the unions and the players to bow to what they want versus being able to come to some type of middle ground. This is the wave of the future. And not to get political, but this is what you can expect if you let the other man that's not in office in office.
I will agree with you on that, but let's try to keep it away from there right now.
This is fantasy sports and politics, so I just threw that in there because it hit me. So
I feel you because if you, the listeners out there, decide to vote for Mitt Romney, you can expect this type of action that's not only happened in sports, but all over because of the way things will be done. Big business will have their way to do whatever it is they choose to do. And until things go haywire, they won't care and they won't change. But, again, that's another subject for a different day.
No, it's not keeping you up, are we?
Just talking about it. You got me tired just talking about it.
Yeah, it can weigh your mind heavily, man, because it's a big turning point in the way we do business in this country. So,
I agree. And if we continue to do things the way that things have gone the past several years, the conservative side won't allow certain things to take place while the liberal side will try. They might fail, but they'll try.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we see the reaction when the referees returned. Everybody was happy.
Right.
Because they got the real refs back, and everything will be back to normal. You try to just do what you want and put people in place just because you don't want to deal with, you know, regulations and rules, you get the product that you had in the NFL. But I didn't want to sidetrack on the political side. I want to get back to basketball and talk about Dwayne Wade and the Heat defending their championship. So let's get to that right now.
Okay.
We did something different this summer. We added a few players, too. I don't know if we even added no one that summer. I can't remember. But, you know, you get to see the difference, you know. So we haven't gotten to practice yet and all that. But, you know, from being around and guys working out, you know, guys came in. They really worked in shape.
So Dwayne Wade says that you really can't tell too much about it, but some guys came in. They're going to see who works. Well, they had a decent draft. They got a good player or two. and maybe things will change. Now, here's the head coach talking about you can't rest on the success of last year.
This team was built for something bigger than just making a one-year run at it. Nothing's guaranteed. We know how difficult it will be. Now it's slightly different. And how do we respond to success? Will it be as motivating and powerful a teacher as the pain and the failure the year before?
Eric. Are you subscribing to that not one, not two, not three, not four, not five championships that the boys talked about when you first put them together? I honestly think that they had their chance at their back-to-back championships last year and year before last. Teams have taken that formula and they've bolstered their squad. And I really think that the Heat are going to be an afterthought this basketball season. Talk to me, Jerry. What do you see going on with the Heat this year and the state of the NBA as far as leveling the playing field?
Well, first of all, I think there's a strong possibility because Dwayne Wade had his knee surgery that he may not play in the opener. But, you know, as much as I don't like the Heat, you got to give them props that they did win the championship and they did silence all the detractors. And I can't think but their confidence is way up. Third year playing with each other, knowing each other that much more, bonding with that each other. I'm talking about the team that much more, regardless of the newer parts or not. I see the Heat not being, I see the Heat being a serious factor in the possibility, strong possibility, and going back to the championship because of the makeup of the team. You feel a different way. I know the other teams may have gotten stronger, but you can't dispel the big three down there, and they're adding pieces to that. So
I agree, Jerry. But let's look at the East. Okay, the Celtics mm-hmm. are older, but they're experienced.
Older. That's the key. They're older.
I know. The 76ers got
and,
younger.
Excuse me. Before you go any further, the Celtics. One of those big three in the Celtics is with the Heat now.
I know.
Okay.
I know, but they still got Rajon Rondo. But my point in this is saying that you've got the 76ers who got younger and better. You know they got rid of Iguodala. You've got the New Jersey or the Brooklyn Nets who added Joe Johnson, and you have Williams and possibly another piece. I don't know why they signed Brook Lopez to that big of a contract. Maybe they're going to get rid of him. So the East is not going to be that easy. Then you go out West, and everybody's saying, the Lakers. I agree. The Lakers are that good by just having that defensive presence of Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard won't be expected to put up 20-20, get some boards, and let Kobe and Nash and Gasol score. He won't be the centerpiece, not just yet. Then you have Kevin Durant and Westbrook and Harden. You give them another piece or two, and they're contenders. So I don't want to say that the Heat, just because they're the defending champions, that they're going to actually sit up there and defend. I actually think they might come in second or third in the East this year. I honestly feel as though that even though they gel, they still haven't figured out what they're going to do with Chris Bosh or how to properly use Chris Bosh.
Well, you saw how important Chris Bosh was when he came back.
Exactly. That's my point.
When he came back, and you saw how important he was when he wasn't there. When they struggled with Chris Bosh, when they finally got him back, they were that much more of a force, especially when they played the Thunder. So,
but Jerry, will they use him correctly? That's the question.
Well, that's one of the things. One of the things I said is that this is the third year with the big three, so they know each other that much more. the coaching staff knows what to do with them that much better. So what didn't work in the first year, they tweaked it a little bit more in the second year. They won a championship. They're going to tweak it even more in the third year. The third year, they won one in the second year. I can't even imagine. There's no expectation less than getting back to the championship. There's no, in my opinion, in the East, I can't see them not getting to back to the championship. I cannot see them not getting back to the championship. And
absolute
I'm not a Heat
power.
Fan.
Corrupts. Absolutely.
And I'm not a Heat fan. So
I had to hit that because you think they don't have that power. They don't have that power, but they're corrupt already. I'm telling you, they're not going to be as strong as a lot of people think they're going to be.
Okay.
They're good. They're good. But until they learn to use Chris Bosh, I don't think they're going to reach their full potential.
Well, then you tell me, and I'll give you a flaw for each one of the teams I think that you can give me. You name off a team one at a time, and I think I probably can give you a flaw in that team.
In general? Okay. Let's go out west.
I'm not talking about the West.
Well, that's what
I'm talking. I didn't say about winning the championship. I said getting to the championship. I can't see anybody that's in the East is going to stop them from getting to a championship. I didn't say about winning. I said about getting to a championship. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. Okay. Let's go to New Jersey, Brooklyn. Let's go with the Nets.
You got Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Brook Lopez, and who else?
Avery Johnson's a better coach than Spraulson.
Wait a minute. I understand the coaching, but the coach doesn't play on the floor. And the problem is this. Joe Johnson is not a big game player, in my opinion. Never has been and never will be. Proved that when he was in Atlanta, the many years he was in Atlanta. He's not a big game player. He gets on brain lock when the butt cheeks get tight, when his pressure's on. So Brook Lopez is not a big time player. He may score, but he's not for 6'11", 7 foot. He's not a rebounder, which is unheard of for that. So that's telling me he's a soft player because he doesn't or either he doesn't put enough effort into it to be a big rebounder. So they have flaws there. They have major flaws even going against the Heat. Next team.
Okay. Next team, 76ers.
Still young. They got Bynum, but now they got to incorporate Bynum into that offense. I see bumps in the road with Bynum. Same thing. They got a new player, feeling them out just like the Heat had new players. It may take another season, not this season, for them to gel. Next team.
Knicks. I think they turn it on this year.
Not enough firepower. They need somebody. I know they have Carmelo. I know they have Tyson Chandler, who's not a big time scorer. He's Amari is some timey. And I have to say it like that because he is sometimes. I understand. You never know what you're going to get from Amari, and then he's I wouldn't say he's Mr. Brittle or Mr. Glass, but he's fragile. He's always getting hurt. So I can't count on him for a full season at a full go. You got Carmelo, you got Tyson Chandler, who's not a real big offensive threat, and you got an old point guard in Jason Kidd. Next.
I mean, dude.
I'm just breaking down all these teams for you.
The Celtics. I know what you're gonna say about them, but the Celtics.
Old, and one of their main guns, one of their main firepower that they had, Ray Allen. With the Miami Heat. So where are they going to get that instant offense? That guy they can go to that one of the best three-pointers in history of the NBA, in the history, not just last year, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA has gone to the arch rival. Next.
All right, Smarty Pants, you give me a team that you think can actually compete with the Heat, at least to go to the championship? Who do you think the Heat will face in the Eastern Conference championship game or series?
Any of the teams you may have just named, except for the Knicks.
Well, I want you to give me one.
Okay, let me see now. Let me think. And you left one team out, which I really think is up and coming. I think they're about maybe a year away, which is another young team, and that's Indiana.
I like the Pacers, but they're Granger and Hibbert. I think Hibbert is a free agent, or he signed somewhere else, so I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure about that, but if he signed with Indiana, he's got upside, and he's still growing as a player. He's a defensive presence already, and he's grown as an offensive force. Trying to think now. We named Indiana, Sixers, Celtics, Nets. Trying to think if there's anybody else that maybe forgotten in the East. And you want me to name one of those three or four teams?
I just want you to name a team, like the Hawks.
Okay.
But the Hawks are when they got rid of Johnson.
No, the Hawks. They need to revamp the Hawks. It's not the coaching because they've changed the coaching. It's the players. The players are just not ready for prime time players. Let me put it that way. When it really counts in the playoffs. Okay, I'm gonna name this one because I think because of the coaching, I really 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 like this coach. And I think he knows he can work this to get them to at least the championship in the East. 76ers.
Okay. I mean, I said that, but you were like, well, I'm too young.
No. I said getting to the championship and winning the East. Mm-hmm. You got to win the East in order to get to the championship to face the West. And to win the East, my opinion is without a doubt you got to go through Miami. Without a doubt, I know that the world champions that's the thing to say because you got to go through the champions to be able to have the opportunity to be the champion. But take that aside, the Heat have the best team right now, and they added a piece. They added instant offense. They added a 3-point shooter that is lights out. Doesn't make a difference whether it's a regular season game or a playoff game. Ray Allen performs when it needs to. I know he has his lulls, but for the most part, when it's crunch time, Ray Allen is there with a 3-pointer to bury you. So, and that's added to LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, and that's like, oh my God, just those three pieces, four pieces right there. And I can't remember the other pieces they may have added. It's like and Mario Chalmers is really no slouch, and he's coming into his own too. He's growing and he's getting pushed by three of the best, four of the best now because Ray Allen's there. So, Jesus, what more can
all
you
right.
ask for?
All right.
And I premise this: I do not like the Miami Heat. But you got to give them their props. They got the pieces.
Yeah, they do. But I still don't think they're going to win it all. I hope not anyway. All right, enough of that. But since you brought up the city of brotherly love, let's do this real quick.
Game time.
Ooh. All right, Ron Jaworski, here's what he thinks about Michael Vick right now.
There's never one person. The quarterback is going to get too much credit or too much blame. And I'll be the first to admit, Michael Vick is not playing the way he is capable of playing. I go through every game tape. I go through every pass. I did last year the same thing. So I know how capable Michael Vick is. He's not playing at that level right now.
So, let's talk about your favorite person in the world, Mike Vick. Will he finish the game, Jerry, or will he be benched? Or will he get injured in this game against the Giants Sunday night and take a couple weeks off?
No.
And will he get his job back after he comes back?
I'll answer the last question first. First of all, he won't lose his job, not in this game. Then the first question, will he get benched? No, he will not get benched in this game. I think they're going to dumb down the offense a little bit, not to protect Mike. Well, yes, to protect Michael Vick because of the because of the pass rush and because not the combination of two things, the pass rush and the ability of the offensive line to hold off a pass rush. So I think Shady McCoy is going to be getting the ball a lot more and getting short passes like he did last year, and like a la Brian Westbrook, get a little dump off left or right and let the back do his thing in space with linebackers and maybe DBs or something that chasing them. So I see that happening. Of course, Andy Reid, always takes his shots down the field. So what I'm thinking a heavy dose of Shady McCoy and sprinkled in with a little bit of Brent Celek over the middle. And then take it every now and then take a shot against that weak secondary of the Giants with either Jeremy Maclin, who's coming back, or DeSean Jackson.
Well, Jackson has had pretty good games versus the Cowboys.
Giants versus the Giants
in the past. So there's a good chance that you could see him go off and Philly. It's like Philly's going bad. They're 2-1. But
it's a bad 2-1.
I got you, and that's what I was getting to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's more of the defense is winning the games for the offense. Now, is that the right thing, or is that the actual situation? I don't know. I've looked at a couple of the games, and every time I look at it, Vic's pulling himself off the ground, holding his wrist, holding his ribs, holding his head, holding his ankle, something. Or the ball's getting tipped in the air, and he's holding the ball way too much. I really would think that Andy Reid and Marty Morningwig would say, okay, Vic, Mike, look, here's what you got to do. 1-2, go. Don't even look at your third progression. 1-2, go. Just let the guy get out of the pocket and force teams to respect him as a runner again, because they don't respect him as a runner anymore. They're like, okay, well, Andy Reid's turned him into a pocket passer or attempting to turn him into a pocket passer, and therefore he's holding the ball too long, taking these big shots, and delivering wobbly balls or tip balls or late balls. So I think that if you look at the totality of it, Michael Vick is a product, the current state of Michael Vick is a product of him trying to fit the mold of the prototypical quarterback for the NFL, which has changed over the past couple of years thanks to him, Randall Cunningham, Steve Young. Even I can go back to Joe Blanda or Cade or the Snake. I forgot his last name.
Kenny Stabler, man.
Yeah, Kenny Stabler. You know, those guys, they ran around and they got things going, and you know, that was not in vogue because they were different at the time. But now that's becoming the type of quarterback you want to have. You want to have a mobile quarterback. The pocket passer has, I mean, you still have good pocket passers, but you need to be more mobile with these faster linebackers, faster and stronger and bigger defensive linemen. You just can't have a sitting duck there anymore. And I think once they allow him to get out of the pocket and just move, it'll be a different story.
Well, first of all, excuse me. I don't know if you had the whole clip of what Jaworski was saying, but one of the things Jaworski said that Michael Vick is not reading the field, the whole field, and that's a problem. He also said that Michael Vick has lost a step, and what Michael Vick thought he could do when he had that extra wiggle, he doesn't have that extra wiggle now, and that's why he's getting hit a little bit more because of the fact he's a step slower. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they're trying to make him more of a pocket quarterback, but he still has the mindset that when things break down, I'm taking off. And he hasn't never been a great slider in the first place, So he's taking hits like a running back or a wide receiver. So which for a quarterback is not a good thing, especially when they have a rookie as their backup. So and I can't think of the guy's name. Maybe you can. Who the backup for the Eagles is? Let me put it this way: Michael Vick better not let that rookie quarterback in there, get in there. Because from what I've seen in a preseason game, he is no slouch. I think all he needs is some experience. Let me put it that way. He's got a gun. It looks like he sees the field pretty well for a rookie, and they're not going to. If he gets in there, they're going to dumb down the offense. But and he's an accurate quarterback, in my opinion. So
I had to pick him up in your family's league because your family league is crazy. That's all I want to say. That family league of yours.
Let me tell you something. I got into that league as a favorite to my sister. Excuse me. Her a friend of hers runs the league, and he was looking for people to pick up. So my sister reached out to me and asked me would I be interested. I looked at the settings and I said, oh my God. I said, well, let me try it and see how it is. And the first week I saw the points being scored. I was like, this is madness. Anyway, the reason I got in touch with you because we needed another person. And that first person I thought of was you because I know you like fantasy football. You're addicted to it almost as much as I am. So I figured you'd jump in there and say, what the heck? Yes, you're right. It's heavy on quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, whatever. Whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, I got to bring in my cousin because he's been holding for it just a little bit. But,
I got to talk to him first because something happened yesterday.
All right, I'll let you talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring this up because he comes at a perfect time. We were talking about Michael Vick and getting out of the pocket and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the Giants said recently, thank God for the regular referees are back because you don't know when you can let up on Vick or hit him or whatever the case may be, and the regular referees will know. Well, Lorenzo Alexander of the Washington Redskins, who plays middle linebacker now for them, had this to say about the replacement referees.
Handling these replacement refs the last couple of weeks has kind of been difficult, frustrating at times just because they didn't have, you know, lacked experience, you know, weren't up to par on a lot of the rules, and having people back that really understand the flow of the game, how it's played, and have, you know, 10, 15 years of doing this, of this job is going to be great.
I agree
to a point. I'll share my thoughts in a minute. But, Michael, you're on the line, and JT wants to talk to you about something real quick.
Mikal, what's happening, my man?
What's up, sir?
I knew you called in yesterday, and we had a boatload of people.
Oh,
and
no,
I tried,
cool.
And I tried to fit you in before I hit the click button to get you in there. You left. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't stay. You know, there was a young lady that needed my attention.
Okay.
She needed some assistance from me.
Nope.
Yeah.
So you had to do your gentlemanly duty, and I hope you did it well.
Yeah, I just finished up maybe like an hour ago, so she's pretty good now.
Okay, and I hope you are too.
Can we get back to the sports situation?
hey, wait a minute. We got to make sure the brother's right now. Come on now.
Oh, my God. Anyway, all right, Mike, your thoughts on the Michael Vick situation as well as the replacement referees.
What happened with Michael Vick? I'm not.
There's a lot of talk about, you know, Andy Reid made a statement. He said something to the effect of Vic isn't going to get benched yet. board up case of being, you know,
oh, yeah. I think that was much to do about nothing. I think he just spoke, you know, just the way that Andy Reid speaks.
What we're talking about. We're talking about the situation of Vic taking hits and, you know, his current situation of being a pocket quarterback or getting him out of the pocket. And Jerry made the prediction that if Vic does get injured or does miss time, he won't get his job back. He intimated that. So do you think that's where Andy Reid's leaning, or do you think it's warranted, or do you think, like I do, that Vic has turned into the pocket quarterback, whereas that's not where the league is right now?
Well, the only reason that I would think that he would not get his job back is if that youngin come in there and just light it up. That's the only reason I would think he would not get his job back. Andy Reid's looking to do what he got to do to win, and he came out and said that, you know, he don't subscribe to that pressure that the owner's putting out there, but trust and know, he is. He definitely is. It would depend on what this youngin would do. But I think it would be a bad move. You know what I mean? I think it would be a bad move. Michael Vick, they need Michael Vick. You know, even though with him throwing them interceptions or whatever, Philly has notoriously gets on slow starts, and they still came out with two wins. Normally, they'll do the whole 1-3 type of thing. They like 2-1 now, so they a little bit ahead of schedule in my book. They not, you know, they not 3-0 as they probably should be with the talent they have, but their offensive line has always been a pedestrian as far as you know, pass protection it goes, and they're just even worse when it comes to the running game because LeSean McCoy should just be running all over the place. Mm-hmm. For real.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
Nah, that was just about it. I think the with the refs being back, it may slow up a lot of them crazy hits now, but I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens with this. Real quick, fellas, tell me what you think Philly has to do in order to beat the Giants. I want Jerry first, and then I want Mike to go.
Well, I elaborated on it already. They're going to have to run the ball more. They're going to, just like McCow was saying, and just like I had said earlier in the conversation, they're going to use Shady McCoy more, run the ball, or give him little short passes to work out in the space, and then make shots down the middle with Brent Celek, and then occasionally take a shot deep with either LeSean McCoy or Jeremy Maclin. But they're going to, I would say, probably run a conservative game plan, for the fact is they have a hell of a pass rush on the Giants side.
Yeah, they do. I agree with you. They definitely do have a hell of a rush over there. And another thing that they do well, that defense, they sniff out the screenplay pretty well, which gives Philadelphia fits, you know, because they have been either incapable or unable to have a significant running game. That's been Philadelphia's problem for like the past 4 or 5 years, and I don't understand why it hasn't been addressed. It's not like they don't have the running back.
Is their offensive game plan? It's their offensive game plan. They want to throw the ball. They want to stretch the field. That's what Marty Morningwig and Andy Reid preach. That's why we got it. Now, I want to table this conversation for a second because we have our guy from Jersey, a gentleman that called in about a week ago asking about a trade. And I told you guys that Reggie Bush was somebody who wanted to keep. I want to ask this guy, did he pull the trigger on that trade or what? So let me bring him in real quick.
Okay.
Yo, my brothers. Yo, my brothers. How you guys doing today?
Hey, yeah. All right.
Hey, I got a couple quick questions. But on the trade, what I did is I kept Michael Bush and all them, but the trade I did do is because I had Martellus Bennett and I have Vernon Davis. I did trade Marcellus Bennett and Greg Jennings for Julio Jones and Witten.
Great move, dude.
Yeah, the guy that had Jennings has what's his name? Rodgers. But it came out to be 69-68. It was like 55 points Julio Jones had given in our PPR league already. Marcellus Bennett had given 51. Jennings had given 17. And Witten had given 14. So if you took the trade together and looked at what was the total points that group of two did and that group of two did, it was 69-68. So it was a fair deal because one guy in our league, his son, the commissioner's son, got Roethlisberger, who's gotten 98 points, and he gave up Freeman and Green, which was a total of 72. So I said, if he allowed that to go, mine was a fair deal for both teams. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you this. The guy that got Jennings, he was looking for the quarterback-receiver combination. The problem is, something's wrong with Green Bay, and Jennings has been dealing with a groin injury. Julio Jones, as Jerry has said, I don't think it's so, but it's the best receiver in football right now. I think it's maybe in the top five.
Top two.
But in order to get him and Witten for Bennett and Jennings, you robbed that guy blind. It's like you just walked up to him, told him, you didn't even pull a gun out on him. You told him to give him your money, and he took his money, and he gave it to you.
Yeah, that's what happened. And you see in our league, what they look at is not what you did last year before. Like, what are you producing right now? So this was the time to pull the trigger. And like you said, the problem with Green Bay, guys, is the locker room. Rodgers has lost the locker room. I think Rodgers mouthed by saying they don't need a running game. From what I understand is there's a lot of dissension in that locker room. So we could be wrong with that. But, yeah, that's what I heard on there. Now, I heard you talking about the Eagles, man. The problem with the Eagles is we know who, man. It's Slim Jim Reed, man. It's the Hamburglar. You know, he's the one.
He's the one.
He goes the morning week. Hey, morning, you going to Burger King, man? Give me a double while you get a single. You know what I mean? He's the one that calls the things because I knew Brad Childress over the years. My son and him grew up together in Jersey. Then he went to Minnesota. And it was the same thing. You know, like Brad was supposed to be the coordinator. He couldn't make the call. It was always Andy Reid doing the play calling and stuff. So, like you said, guys, I've said it all along for 13 years. They need to run the ball. Andy Reid is ignorant, and I hope they fire his ass because the bottom line is he does not know how to game plan every year. Like he's a stuttering machine. My fault. Well, dude, you had 13 years to plan. You have no plan. You have no game plan, and that's why you got yourself handed to yourself to Arizona. He doesn't know what's what. Now, my question to you guys is, another couple quick questions is, I was going to be sneaky here. Like, Brady's my quarterback. I have Wilson, you know, the young guy.
Time on. You got Brady. You got Julio. I got Reggie. I got Vernon Davis.
I got the 49ers defense. I got Hanson and Garrett. I got Michael Bush. I got Forte, I got Matthews, and I got Ridley.
And Matthews just came back, too.
Yep.
And Forte's coming back this Monday night.
Right. I lost last week to a guy that had Matt Ryan due to the fact that I started Michael Bush and I started Ryan. Now, what happened was Cruz didn't do much, and I also have a Michael Floyd. Floyd did well. But what happened was I lost 110 to 101. If I would have played Hanson would have gave me 20 points. I think Hartley gave me 8, so I would have won. And the bottom line is the guy I lost to, he's 2-1 also. He's got Matt Ryan. That's why I pulled the trigger, because we'll see each other again at the week 13, and I'll see him in the playoffs. So,
and
you know,
whatever Matt Ryan does, typically,
he does.
Once they stop doubling Julio, he'll get some points.
Exactly, because we've won 5 championships, my son and I, in the last 8 years in this league. So we know what we're doing to a degree. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but we kind of know what's going on. You know, I talk to different guys like yourself during the week, and we get a perspective as to, okay, am I doing the right thing here and there on certain things?
Right.
Because, like I said, I'm actually sitting Michael Bush and Forte in my one league, and that PPR league, we get 10-point rushing touchdown, and I'm going with Ridley, and I'm going with Matthews, because I'm down 23-0 in there now because he had Richardson. go, you know, and I reached into my other leg. My other leg, I got 16 from him. But, again, that's what you have to do. But I thought Julio, you know, was it was a good thing. And the problem is you don't have – he played 1 year. This is his second year. So when you, in our league, how we kind of use our thing is, all right, guys, what makes a draft fair is the points. Now, Bubbles advocate is, okay, Ponder has put more points up Rodgers. Now, would somebody trade Ponder for Rodgers? I don't think so, but
no.
There are certain situations where you try to use the point thing, what's fair, what's not fair, when you're doing a trade, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's you know, but the way I see things is like you said with the Eagles, is they need to run the ball, guys. They do throw. What I'm going to do is I'm going to drop that Wilson guy. You know what I'm going to pick up tonight? So I got the phone with you guys. I'm going to go pick up my man Nick Folk as my backup. Because if Nick Folk plays week 9 against New Orleans, he's the misfit from Christmas Island, baby. He's going to light it up like it's Christmas if Nick don't play. Worst that happens is week 9, if Vic's starting quarterback, I get rid of Folk, and you pick up maybe a Castle or Wilson again or somebody. But I'm thinking down the road because, you know, when you're in Jersey to win championships, you're going to be one step ahead of everybody, you know what I mean? And so, like
go.
I said a couple years ago, my man, brother Vic, went off like the misser from Christmas Island. When he had that great year, I had Roethlisberger and I had Flacco. And you can carry a third quarterback, you know, if you want. So it was like the second or third week I heard he was gone. And my team was like, I think I was 0-2 then, because what's called was killing me, Flacco and Roethlisberger then. Or no, Roethlisberger couldn't play for a couple weeks before because he had that, I was going with Flacco because he was in that, what do you call it, suspension thing. And I tell you, my man Vic led me to the promised land that year. He went off, like you said, he scored me 75 points one game, I forget against who. So, but it's good. But, hey, my other question is, and it pertains to the Eagles-Giants. I got the Giants defense in one league, and I got the Falcons, both in the same league. And the other league I'm in, you do get a lot of points for defense. It's like double points for sacks, turnovers, keep the points under. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think last year Giants beat Philly in Philly, but Philly kind of struggled at home, and Philly beat Giants in the Giants stadium. Now, with that saying, Giants defense a little banged up. If Vic was on like he was, maybe I would go with the Giants defense, but I have them in now. But you take a chance on, they're saying the Falcons this week are a sleeper, although you can run on the Giants, and I never thought that, you could run on the Falcons. I didn't think San Diego was going to get their butts handed to Atlanta.
I
just didn't see that happen, especially when everybody's saying you could run on that defense, and I had Matthews. I didn't see that coming. But do you take the Falcons this week at home against Carolina and hope Cam has a sophomore slump, or do you take a chance to stay with the Giants playing against Philly and they're not knowing what Philly's going to do and not sure what the Giants are going to do defensively? What's your input, guys, on that defensively? Which one to take, either Giants or Falcons?
I know what I would take, but go ahead. Anybody want to answer that, or you want me to take it, or what?
I'll jump in.
Go ahead.
Because to me it's easy. You know that it's going to be a difficult game for the Giants and Eagles, right?
Right.
You know, the Giants secondary is crappy, but you don't know what you're going to get out of Michael Vick.
Right.
The Eagles defense is pretty good, but, again, Eli's no joke, Cruz is no joke, Ramsey's Barton. They don't have anybody that can cover that 6'7" guy on a slant or a jump ball.
Right.
Then you look at Atlanta versus Carolina. Something's wrong down in Carolina. Something's wrong.
Right.
What it is, I don't know. The newspaper put out a cartoon character of a lamb, a pink lamb on Cam Newton's shirt. You know how he busts open to it. You need to stop being such a something and stop being a lamb.
Like a crybaby.
There's something wrong with Carolina. Atlanta is hot right now. They're supposedly have the two best safeties in football. Mike Nolan turns defenses around. He shut up, Michael, because he used to be the Redskins defense coordinator. He was good for us for that 1 year. But the bottom line is that he can turn defenses around. And Atlanta's defense is pretty good. They might be underrated right now. But they're pretty good. I personally would play Atlanta's defense against Carolina's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know they don't have a real running game. And all you do is really defend the pass. versus that other defense, because you don't. It's a bag of fucking. Excuse me, a bag of rats.
Oh yeah, and
you know, that you're putting your hand into on in that game.
Oh yeah, and Vic could go off this way. Vic could be back to normal and everything be fine and exploit them. See, I guess the key to beating the Eagles, you know, and I'm an Eagle fan because I live in Jersey, is that he, if you put pressure on him, he's like a deer in headlights sometimes, and he does try to beat too much. You give him credit. But that offensive line is horrible, but he's trying to make plays and stuff there, maybe holds it on a little too long or whatever. And like you said, if they get pressure to him, it could be a struggle, or he could have a great game, but you don't know. And like you said, with Cam Newton, I had heard that one of the guys on his team, he was sulking on the bench, said, dude, you can't be a crybaby, or whatever it was. You know, there was something I had heard or read. Within the past week, they got their butts beat last week in that Thursday night game or something. I mean,
yeah, that was Steve Smith. Steve Smith came up to him because he was on the bench sulking and got in his ear. So, and I would second what Vic said about Atlanta. I would go with Atlanta. Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely.
Definitely go with Atlanta. Definitely.
Hey, and do you like what I did? What I did this week? And I'll let you. You know, I won't bother you guys. You guys are good. I have fun with you guys. You guys are real good. And I appreciate it. And it's fun talking. I have Michael Bush, but I'm sitting him. I have McFadden that I'm starting this week, and I actually already started Richardson. I had Peyton Hills. I should have put him on IR, but I dropped Peyton Hills and I picked up Kevin Smith.
Michael LeSueur is not giving up that job, guy. He's not giving up. That's the first time that the Lions have rushed the ball more than 20 times in any game in the past 5 years.
And the thing about it is he was hurt last year, and this was his first game ever in the NFL, regular season game, and they put that workload on him. And they before the game, they said he was going to start. They must have known what they had, because that was his first game. If he did that in his first game, imagine when he's two or three games when he gets his game legs. As long as he doesn't get hurt,
They're saying he's sore now. He's banged up. He's sore. The only reason why I saw the opportunity with Smith is never to be my starter. My starter is always going to probably be Trent Richardson and McFadden. Now I have Bush as Michael Bush as a sneaky play. So what I was thinking is, hey, Hillis is probably third in line, because now Drone or Drayton or whatever his name is has kind of taken stuff from Hillis in the boot. So I said to myself, all right, let's be cute here. Yeah, I already have. McFadden on week 5 and the same as what I saw. I would go with Michael Bush next week and Trent Richardson. But Kevin Smith could be a sneaky play matchup someday if LeSueur gets hurt or banged up where he doesn't play, because Kevin Smith is no given that his health stays healthy. But I thought that maybe it would be a better bench player to have opportunity-wise, maybe if something happens with LeSueur versus, hey, Charles went off, man. He's going, 220-some yards. So,
yes.
And Drone's been in there, so that's why I was thinking, hey, maybe drop Hillis. He's got a boot. Let's keep Smith on the bench. That's a sneaky thing down the road that maybe you use him if the opportunity does not. You know, I thought that he might be a better bench player. Was that right or wrong? What did you think on that?
How big is your bench?
You're only allowed to have four. You start two running backs, you're only allowed to have four. So I have Michael Bush on there now. I have McFadden. I have Trent Richardson, and I have Kevin Smith because I dropped Hillis. You know, last night.
Okay, you start two running backs.
Right. You start two. It's actually been McFadden and Richardson. Now, what I did last week, a hole me, is, and I still won by about seven. Is I sat McFadden and I went with Michael Bush, who did okay, and I went with Richardson, who kind of struggled, but AJ Green went off on me and my other thing. The problem I have there is
that's okay, because you only can start two running backs. You only have two running backs that you can have on your bench. You got one running back that's a starter that you can use. There's nothing wrong with picking up a guy that you're just going to take a flyer on.
My thinking.
If you had a bigger bench, there will be someone else that is probably not even thought of, which I'm going
to. It's a 12-man league. You know, you don't have a flex. You start two receivers. You start two running backs, one quarterback. Because the problem is I got Homo to Romo, and he's like the misfit from Christmas Island without no luck.
So this guy, yeah. he's got a bunch of things to say here.
I got him and Alex Smith. So you know, I'm hoping that Romo shows up this week. Yeah, I could probably go with Smith too, but you know, again, well, my weakest point is in that team. I'm also 2-1 in there. Is my tight ends. I have Witten and I have Des Bryant. I actually am sitting Reggie Wayne this week because he's on a bye. But I'll tell you what, man, my man brother Wayne, he's the new Steven Smith this year of 2012. You know, he's resurrection of luck like Cam did for Steve Smith. So he's been hot along with AJ Green. So those guys have been carrying me because Romo, man, he just is non-existent. And I got Dez. I don't know where the end zone is. Bryant, I'm starting him this week, hoping he is welcome in the end zone again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he hasn't scored a touchdown in 5 games.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, man. I mean, they're looking for Austin, and like I said, I'm benching Witten this week to go with Fred Davis, hoping because of Clark Lynch out there. Huh?
Ew. Well,
what do you think on that? It's standard league, huh?
I got you. I'm a Skins fan. My cousin is a Skins fan as well. I don't know what it is about Fred Davis this year, but they're not throwing him the ball, and when they do get him the ball, he's not doing much with it.
Right. Last week was the first time he really did anything, and I'll tell you, man, there's nothing on the waiver wire. I mean, somebody just took the guy from Oakland. And that would have probably been a smart move. But then I was like, who do I drop? I mean, I would have had to drop maybe Fred Davis. But like you said, I thought being a rookie quarterback, man, usually tight end or safety valves and stuff like that, at least when I played ball and stuff, that always was.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
And he did have a good game last week. Wasn't bad. You know, with Garcon out, you think he'd look to him more. But, hey, I don't know if it's play calling or what's going on. So until Witten really comes along, I can't trust him. But, again, I haven't been playing him, so he hasn't gone off. But usually if he wouldn't play Witten, it's when he usually goes off. So what's your feeling on that, guys? I mean,
Witten's been getting the ball thrown to. He has just hasn't been catching it. That's
right.
Witten's problem. He just hasn't been catching it. So I think he may be still affected health-wise with that spleen or something like that. He's totally not right yet.
I agree.
I would hold on to Witten. Until he starts doing well, and then you can probably flip-flop him based on matchup
or
use him in another trade to get a better player that you may be targeting somewhere else. So.
Yeah, and in that league, I'm pretty good, like you said, with my receivers and running backs. You know, I got Reggie Wayne. I have Danny Amendola. I have Dez Bryant. And I have, what's his name, A.J. Green. But, like, right now, in a PPR league, Amendola would be a stud. But, like, they're going against Seattle this week. I have Amendola on my bench, but I'm starting Dez Bryant because of Romo. Is that the smart move? Because I think defensively, the team that Dallas is playing this week, Chicago, I mean, they're not bad, but it seems like Seattle's defense, man, they've shut down some good throwing teams receiver-wise, and that's why when Amendola, he kind of, in a PPR league, he could go off, but he doesn't find the end zone much. In a standard league, you want guys that are going to get you some yards and maybe the 6, you know what I mean? Am I doing the right thing by taking a flyer on Dez and sitting Amendola? I mean, I've never started Amendola.
Where are the Rams playing? They're playing in St.
They're playing home. They're playing home.
Seattle's usually real good defense when they're at home. They're not good on the road.
Yeah.
Seattle's definitely a different defense.
Bears is
going to
get shut down by the Bears. The Bears is going to come after the Cowboys. They're
going
to come out because they're backed up against the ball.
All right.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is a PPR league?
No, this is just a standard. This one's just a standard league, yeah.
That's a coin toss, but I would probably go with Amendola just like McCall's saying because he's the number one receiver. He's going to get more opportunities than probably Dez will. Dez hasn't found the end zone in 5 weeks. Romo's more comfortable throwing to Jason Witten and Miles Austin than he is throwing to Dez, even though he does throw to Dez. Sam Bradford, BFF, is Danny Amendola. So even though you're not getting any points for each reception, you're going to get targets, equal opportunities. I'm pretty sure you heard that before.
Yep, I agree.
And that's the deal there.
And do you think
I disagree.
You disagree? Okay.
I disagree.
I'll listen to you, Pepper.
I disagree because Dez Bryant has been struggling to get into the end zone and get balls thrown his way. He didn't get one ball thrown his way in the first half of last week's game, if I'm not mistaken.
Right against Tampa Bay, right?
But when they played Seattle. The problem that I see with the Cowboys is you have too many weapons and not one go-to receiver.
Right.
Whitten was that guy, but he's no longer that guy. Dez is supposed to be that guy. I don't know if he'll ever get there. I wouldn't put my faith in Amendola. That's just me. The reason why I wouldn't put my faith in Amendola is because Seattle isn't that bad of a secondary. And therefore, if they can get Rodgers 8 times on a 3-man rush, what are they going to do to Sam Bradford?
Monday night football.
You got to remember, though, Vic, they're not in Seattle. When they are in Seattle, them dudes are all world. I mean, they
But Amendola was cut by the Cowboys for a reason several years ago.
Okay.
But he is a good talent, very good talent. But I'm telling you, if you're going for standard in a standard scoring league, Amendola is not the guy. He's not getting the touchdowns. He'll get you a bunch of catches, bunch of yards. But Dez is due to get in the end zone, whether it's by a punt return, whether it's by a pass.
A punt return is different.
He has a better shot at it. That's just me. I would start. I agree with you right now.
Put you on that part, Vic. But I don't got him doing it here with the Bears. The Bears ain't no joke, man. They done played a couple crappy games, but they gonna come out against the boys. I'm telling you.
Okay, so if Tillman's going to cover, who is Tillman going to cover then? Is Tillman going to cover Dez, Ogletree, or is he going to cover Austin? He can't cover all three.
Austin's been the go-to guy, it seems to, for most of the time that Romo looks for. Are they playing in Dallas or are they playing in Chicago?
They're playing in Dallas, and the reason why Miles Austin and Jason Witten are targeted more and Romo can trust them. Romo can trust where they're going to be on the field. Dez Bryant has a tendency to go lone wolf and do things that is not in the offense, and Romo doesn't like that. Quarterback has to know where the wide receiver is going to be.
Right. Well, he likes to know. He wants a guy to run his route and know he's going to beat her when he's doing a time and play or whatever. Well, do you think since the Jets lost Revis, I have Alex Smith. Now, I've never started Alex Smith. And in most leagues, Romo is rated a little bit higher this week than Alex Smith. Do you take a flyer on Alex Smith? I mean, the reason why I drafted Witten and the reason why I drafted Dez Bryant is because I had Romo. Figuring out, I'll get my targets, you know, when those guys set up. You try something different in each league. You play around a little bit, you know, and you tweak things and you go with things. And that was my philosophy, thinking, hey, Romo's due to have a good year. You know, Bryant's a stud now. With Witten being hurt, it could take him half the season to really start feeling healthy with the spleen. And I'm sure that spleen still bothered him. I give him credit for coming back early and doing what he did, but I'm sure it's affecting his play offensively for fantasy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So do you think Alex Smith, not that I'd ever saw him except for a bye week, but he does put some numbers up sometimes. But again, with San Francisco, you don't really know what they're going to do. You know, they've been passing this stuff. But with the Jets not having Revis there, there's no more Island in New York. You know, you got Cromartie. Do you start an Alex Smith as a sneaky thing versus Romo? I don't know. What's your guys? That's my last question.
Nope.
What's your input on that, guys?
Never. In my opinion, if you have a better option, Alex Smith, use him. Alex Smith is a very serviceable quarterback. But if you're talking about a guy that's going to throw a ball and expect touchdowns and stuff like that, that's Romo, not Smith.
Right, okay.
You want a 200-plus yard game, 300, maybe 2-3 touchdowns, you go with Romo. If you drafted or you picked up Alex Smith, as you said, he is just a bye week quarterback unless you have a better option. You know, right now, I'm in that situation right now. I just traded Willis McGahee for Alex Smith and Fred Jackson. And luckily, Willis McGahee got injured, Fred coming off an injury. So I got that guy. And my other quarterback is Russell Wilson. Wilson is a serviceable quarterback right now. So I have no choice but to start Alex because Alex has a better situation than freaking Seattle, because Seattle will just run the ball. I play good defense. Both of them will. But, you know.
The coach for Seattle said that he's kind of held the reins back a little bit for Russell Wilson. Now, maybe halfway through the season going forward, he may pull the strings a little bit, let him throw more. So he's kind of monitoring his thing as being, even though he's a 26-year-old rookie or whatever he is, a 28-year-old rookie, and playing baseball, whatever, in the Yankees organization.
No, that's Wheaton for Cleveland.
Oh, that's somebody different, I'm thinking. Yeah. But the head coach of Seattle did say, I read on something this week, that the reason why Wilson hasn't been throwing much is I've kind of had to tie reins on him as he's getting used to stuff on that one. I got him next. But it was the head coach of Seattle. Because I kept saying to myself, I wonder why Wilson isn't throwing much, on it. Because like I said, I'm thinking about dropping Wilson and being a sneaky thing, because I don't need anybody till week 9. If Vic doesn't start, I got Falk on against the Aints, because the Aints ain't got no defense. So thinking that, maybe that's a sneaky move. So, thinking down ahead of it. But I tell you, how you guys make out in your league? You guys all doing pretty good? Or I'm 2-1 in both my league.
Course.
I'm in first, but 2-1.
Of course. FSP is controlling except for two leagues. Only two leagues I'm not doing good in. But other than that, all out of 13, two of them I'm not doing good in. But
I'll leave that
to Jerry.
You might need to talk to Jersey here.
I got three that I'm below 500. For the most part,
it's early.
It's early. One, I'm undefeated, and Vic knows which one that is because he's playing me this week. So
yeah, but I'm undefeated in the other ones, and didn't I whoop you? Well, hold on, because I want to get to this conversation. I really do, but first, I want to thank you for your call, man. Because you brought up two things
guys.
I really wanted to talk about.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot for everything.
Appreciate
the information. Best of luck to you guys this weekend, too. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Hey,
you
stick
too.
Around and listen to the show, because we're about to get interesting.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Okay, check this out. Two things I want to talk about before we get to – well, one thing I want to talk about before we get to fantasy is this. I'm about to tell the world that the division has the best defense in all of – National Football League. Michael, do you know what a division that is?
The NFC East.
Jerry, do you have an idea what division that is?
I'm trying to think here. Let me think. I'm going through the divisions here. One team that has the best defense?
Defenses. Oh, wait a minute. Defenses. Oh, okay. I would say... The AFC North? That's the one with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, okay.
Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the North.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I would say it's the NFC West.
You're looking at my notes, you little ass.
No,
okay.
No, I'm not. The master knows, man. I just had to think for a minute. It's the NFC West.
Correct, because they have... All four of their teams are in the top 10.
Yes.
Defensively. All four.
Yep.
They have the best defenses in the entire NFL. So we're talking about, going against these teams. Yeah, they might be slouches offensively, but defensively, these teams ball. Don't sleep on them. Seattle. The Cardinals, the Rams, and the 49ers, all of them are in the top 10 of defenses.
Yep.
I say that because caller just brought that up, and that was a good thing because I had it on the tip of my tongue, and I wanted to bring it out there. But when you try to face one of these guys, you're talking about Alex Smith going against Seattle. No. That's defense versus defense. That's not a good move. Not at all. Both teams have excellent defenses. Alex Smith might be able to get a couple, passes in to Vernon Davis, but Cam Chancellor is 6'3".
The San Francisco 49ers are going against the Jets.
I'm sorry.
Seattle is at St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah, at the Rams. Sam Bradford will not do well this week. Will not. And Wilson is going to continue to do what he does best, which is hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. So I just want to get that out there. Yes.
I don't agree with that one. I think Sam Bradford's going to have a good game. I can't sign off on that. Seattle, looking at their defense and looking at how they plan and stuff, it looks good in Seattle. I need to see it somewhere else. And what better place than all the way over in St. Louis and not all the way over, not 6,000-7,000 miles in the corner of the United States. No, I'm not signing off on that. Not signing off.
Well, Jerry has long said there are two teams in the NFL that are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They're Dr. Jekyll when they're on the road, and they're Mr. Hyde when they're at home, Seattle and Jacksonville. And that's where we're right now. But, I mean, hey, I think it's going to be a good defensive game. We'll see tomorrow. It'll probably be a high-scoring game now that we said that, but we'll see what happens.
That's always the way. That's always the way.
But we'll see what happens. I got a bunch of sound bites I'm probably not going to get to, but let me get to this issue with Jerry real quick. Jerry,
no issue. There's never an issue.
I whipped your butt week one or week two.
Where?
You won last week. This week we have a rubber match in a different league, the Parlay Pals.
Wait a minute. Before you go any further, what league did you beat me in first?
Oh, the first ESPN, the one that you won last year that you claimed to beat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm undefeated in and look to be undefeated for quite some time.
I wanted to get your confidence up because you got beat down last year. I know how young men's psyche are, so I wanted to make sure that you felt good going into this season.
Whatever. And so, and this week we face off in Blacksley, the Parlay Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Looks to be a close game, but I'm going to win again. So I'll let you say what you're going to say. You got 1 minute. Go.
I don't need a minute. I'm 3-0. You are whoever you are. It doesn't make a difference. I'm in beast mode, just like my team is. It's time to roll over you and go to the next victim, which is next week. I don't need a minute for that.
All right, Jerry, you're such a loser. It's okay. You're going to lose again. I am 1-2 in that league. I've actually played every game I played this in this league, it's been over like 130, 140 for both teams.
Okay.
And
your point
week,
is?
I'm about to get to it. Last week, I win. I beat the Joker 165 to 150-something. The point is that I've averaged over 120, 130, roughly 133, 134 per week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's going to change this week. You don't have enough ammunition to beat my team.
Well,
good luck.
We can go back and forth because the fact is, and I'm looking at one of the league that you beat me in, which I happen to be 0-3 in. But if you look at the for and against, I've been scored against the second most. So that means I have the second toughest schedule so far in the first 3 weeks.
In that league or on the Parlay Palace?
In the league that I just won in. In the league I won last year. So
in Parlay Palace, I've had the worst record. I played the people with the highest total points. So what you're saying?
Is that right? Is that right?
Yes.
And my question is this: what's your record?
1-2, but you're 0-3. So what's
No, I'm 3-0. I'm 3-0.
No. Well, I'm talking about if
you're
talking about other league as far as
you
played the most. You know, you played the people with the most scored upon points. I can say the same thing about the Parlay Palace.
You're absolutely right.
But at least I had a win.
You're absolutely. But that's okay. You're 1-2. You can count up to 3, right?
I'm going to be 2-2 by the time
okay. I'm glad you think that because whatever happened in your league is about to happen in the Parlay Palace. I happen to win that league. I happen to have what they call the master plan, and it's carrying through from league to league for the most part. And you are just another bump in the road, a very small bump, to my inevitable championship, which happens near the end of the season. So.
We'll see. Michael, don't listen to this dude. All right, we got a couple sound bites, and we'll get into these picks real quick. Since we're talking about defense, let's hear from Patrick Peterson on why the Cardinals team is so good.
Probably going out there playing fast with relentless effort. You know, everybody know what they have to do in certain situations. We know how certain teams want to attack us. We're just out there playing fast, physical football right now.
And that's what the Cardinals are doing. Now, the question was also asked of Mr. Peterson, who does he want, Cobb or Skelton?
We can't let that become a distraction, because at the end of the day, I believe that we would definitely need both quarterbacks to win ball games. And that has been proven thus far throughout last season and this season. You know, both guys are preparing extremely well throughout the week, and whichever quarterback is under the gun, honestly, we're definitely comfortable with which guy who's back there throwing the ball.
He has to say that.
Musical chairs at quarterback. Is that what's going on, JT?
He has to say that. That's the politically correct thing to say, especially on the defensive player's side of the ball. They win and lose as a team. Regardless of who's the quarterback, you got to support the quarterback that's behind center when they start the game off. And from week to week, it's up to the coaches to put their starting quarterback with the guy with the best chance to win. They got to support whoever that guy is. He's supposed to say that. He's not going to say anything different.
All right, Mike, who would you rather have at quarterback if you had to pick, Skelton or Cobb?
It looked like Cobb right now.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like Cobb. You know, give me some corn on the cob. I mean, I wasn't too impressed with Skelton, but I really wasn't too impressed with Cobb. But him to go in there and beat his old team like that, so I'm on the Kevin Cobb pick. No, that was enough. I don't even know how those coaches made that evaluation this preseason. Because just looking at some of the games that they was playing, I didn't see who won that. I really didn't.
They both played bad. That's the reason, because they both played so bad that it was a tough decision. Who are they going to put in there? Because they both were about the same. They stunk. So.
Uh-huh. No doubt. No doubt.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think Cobb's going to try to hold on to his job. And I think Adrian Wilson had made a comment about he needs to step up and show that he wants to keep it. They paid him all the money. We'll see what happens. Let's go to
before you go any further, I just got this thought. Doesn't Kevin Cobb, his whole demeanor and his facial expressions and the way he goes about it, it reminds me of another quarterback in the NFL that happens to reside in Chicago.
Well, look.
I don't think Pop's bad, though.
I think Cutler is a better quarterback.
Well, no, I understand that. But he seems like the same demeanor and the same, you know, facial expressions, and it seemed like the same sarcastic half a smile or whatever it is, or that looked like I really don't give a shit about what's going on here. To me, that looks like if you look at the two and you put them side by side and their facial expressions, they're about equal. And I just realized that when I was talking about it.
You're just looking at two young Caucasian gentlemen and you're getting them mixed up.
They all look alike.
Oh, stop it. Let's move on. Let's talk about Rex Ryan on the 49ers.
Going against San Francisco, you almost have to be perfect. You have to, you know, going against this kind of team, it has to be precise, you know, and that'll give you the only shot you got is to do those things. So that's what we'll be working on.
Now, Sexy Rexy also made the decree that they're not going to put Revis on IR because there's an opportunity for him to play in the Super Bowl.
Stop.
If
man.
They get that far.
Oh,
also,
God.
Joe McKnight has been traded to the defensive side of the ball. He's not too happy about it. And neither is Kyle Wilson, who's upset by that. Jerry, this is your old team. Talk to me.
And you neglected, I don't know if you knew about this or not, Antonio Cromartie now preaching to whoever wants to hear it that
he's the best
corner in football. And Rex, Sexy Rexy, like you said, says, I want him to say that. I want him to have that mindset. He should be saying that. I like that. You know, that's one of the reasons why this team is so dysfunctional. This organization is so dysfunctional. They take a running back they drafted, I think, in a pretty good round, whatever round, I forget round he was drafted in, meaning Joe McKnight, and they want to play him as a corner. And the last time he played corner when he was in high school. Come on. I mean, are you serious? Are you serious? You're going to put a guy at corner in the NFL, not college, not in the practice squad or something like that, just to have a body as a defensive back. You're going to put him in an NFL game as a corner. And he's been, from the time he was in college up until he got into the pros, he's been playing running back, and he probably was playing running back in high school also. It makes no sense. I understand the guy's got a lot of athleticism, but I would never do that. Plus the fact the guy is probably – he's pissed off. He even said it publicly, he's pissed off because I'm drafted as a running back, and they're going to put me in the defensive back. I'm a team player, but I'll go, but I'm not happy about it, which I wouldn't be happy about it either. I'm a running back, and you're going to give me now I got a different number, or I may keep the same number, but I'm a defensive back now. Come on. Total dysfunction, total. It won't put Revis on the IR. He's got an ACL. If the ACL is that bad, he's going for a second opinion, meaning he wants somebody to say something he wants to hear, which is not going to happen. Put him on IR. Say goodbye so long. Only reason he won't put him on IR, if there's a chance he may get back to the Super Bowl when the Jets get to the Super Bowl, or if they get to the Super Bowl. Come on.
Rod Woodson did the same thing when he was with the Ravens. Brian Billick did the same thing. He didn't put him on IR, brought him back, and he played in the Super Bowl. So maybe that's his motivation. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
look at Rod, look at the Jets team. And look at the Baltimore Ravens at the time, and you give me a comparison if they're even close to being able to get through all the teams in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think so. So, no way. Put the kid on the IR. Don't give him any kind of false hope that we're going to bring you back when you have your operation and start rehabbing. It's definitely not enough time. You put his career in jeopardy if you try to put him out there too soon. So,
Mike, what do you think real quick?
I think this is, this perfect display of clowns on Broadway.
Thank you.
In New York. Clowns of New York. That's the name of the play. Clowns.
I like that.
Yeah, this is the... And there's a word that I use on my show that I cannot use that really explains what this is, but I'm just going to say it's clowns, of New York, and be mindful of my cousin's show.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 5 minutes left of live air. We're going to go into overtime briefly because we want to do our picks segment, but. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got here on blogtalkradio.com/VSTHK, Spanish Sports and Politics, 1 p.m. Eastern. Sundays, 10 a.m., you have the master plan, JT ATM Money. He's going to give you what you need to succeed in this season of fantasy football. Also, on Tuesdays, maybe not for a while because Kim experienced something a little tragic, not sure of her situation. But on Tuesdays, we usually have Kim Fun with Compassion for Kim. Just pray for Kim and know that she'll be back at some point. Don't know when, but at some point.
Ooh, everything's
Thursday,
okay.
Can't discuss it.
Okay.
On Thursdays, we have FSP Crew Show, JT ATM Money with the Joker, as well as Black the Bookie. Breaking things down just before the football game on Thursday Night Football and talking about things that are going on in the world of sports. Then on Friday, Mac Williams, that Detroit Lion fan, who I wish would call in, talking doggone about his Lion and that boneheaded play on fourth down. And Jerry ATM Taylor, Have No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. No Chaser is a show where you can say those types of words. My cousin is very respectful of right now, and get away with it. But
and get away with it. Wow.
it's a show about sports, and it's a show about political things. It's a lot of things all rolled into one. So enjoy that show Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. That's what we do. That's what we bring. Now, with the last 4 minutes of the show on live air, we'll talk about the Cowboys. And we're going to get into our picks. Mr. Spears has something to say about stopping Matt Forte or Michael Bush. Here's what he has to say.
You got to defend the run. Don't know if Forte is going to play, but he's one of the best backs in the NFL. So, obviously, they want to get him the ball a lot of touches. They've been averaging 30 attempts a game anyway without him in the lineup. So, you need to focus on stopping the run.
As well, there seems to be some type of dysfunction on the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. Troy Smith, that highly touted left tackle from USC a couple of years ago, who I believe now is the starting left tackle since Doug Free is now the right tackle, he says he has to learn to work well or work better with his team. What is that all about?
You got to treat it as any other game, you know. Just got to prepare the right way, know what you got up front, and, you know, you got to know who you're going against, and you got to be on the same page as your teammates.
So, there, he's going to face Julius Peppers all game long. Any advice, Jerry?
No.
No. Okay. Mike, any advice?
I gave my advice earlier, Slim. I'm telling you, the Bears is going to whoop up on the Cowboys. And I ain't saying it because I like two teams in the NFL. You know, one is the Redskins and anybody that's playing the Cowboys. But, you know, just looking at it straight up as a straight-up fan or whatever, it don't look good for the Cowboys. It don't look good. Don't look good.
All right. Well, y'all know I don't like the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a highly contested game. I really think it's going to be. I don't know how deep this is going to get as far as point-wise, but I do know you've got two good defenses going against each other. That's usually a recipe for a lot of sacks.
From what I understand, the Cowboys have the number one defense. So.
Yes, they do, according to Black the Book and NFL.com.
Yes.
We know most of those people are wrong sometimes. But anyway, minute 42 left of live air, so we're going to start our pick segment right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Victor Delmar. Carolina, Atlanta. We're going to go in this order all the time. Mike and Jerry. Real quick, Carolina at Atlanta, Mike.
Atlanta. Them two wide receivers, Slim. They're going to be putting it on people this year.
All right. Jerry.
My number one rated wide receiver, Julio Jones. Atlanta is overwhelmingly a winning record at home. No brainer, Atlanta.
I'm picking Atlanta as well, and I'm looking for Roddy White to continue to have an excellent week as teams start to double up on Julio. Also, I look for Michael Turner to get in the end zone again. They haven't ran him that much, but with this wide open offense, he's going to find more running room if they decide to give him the ball. So we'll see. That's a pick from me.
You still have a love affair with Michael Turner, huh?
You still got a love affair with Frank Gore?
Have you seen me in the leagues that you in? I haven't been spouting about Frank Gore. You talking?
No. Ricky was doing it, you were all with Ricky. That was last
season. This is a whole different season, whole different point of view on players. I haven't drafted Frank Gore on any of my teams. Not even looking for him.
Guys in the archives, we're about to go into overtime right now. Okay. So we're in overtime, right?
No problem.
So you're going to dog Michael Turner. It's okay. I'm not going to get on it. But also, as we told our caller, you got to play Atlanta's defense against Carolina. Ooh, not Michael Turner. Steve Smith and Cam Newton and Gatorade. Can't forget Gatorade. Talk about Cam Newton. They look to have a rough way to go. I'll put it that way. Let's go to New England. Well, let's go to Buffalo. When New England takes on Buffalo, Fred Jackson returns, and the Gronk might not play. Talk to me, Mike.
Who is it, New England and who?
Buffalo.
New England
at Buffalo.
And Buffalo.
At Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm taking New England. I'm taking New England. Would they 14-1 against them? I'm taking New England.
Pissed off about that game last week. New England's going to take it out on Buffalo, who they like to run a score up on. I like New England.
We're in agreement. I like New England as well. Unfortunately, Fred Jackson's return is going to be spoiled. He will get the ball a lot, whether it's in the air or on the ground, but I think Tom Brady is going to be rather pissed off about the defeat they just took. And Brandon Lloyd, you know, the Patriots are 1-2.
Yes.
They lost the last two games. So
They're
kind of upset. They're going to have chips on their shoulders. You might even see a couple personal fouls in this game. But Brandon Lloyd, if Gronk doesn't play, get off. And like I told you guys last week, with Aaron Hernandez down, guess who stepped up and had a great game? Wes Welker. It may or may not happen again. I think it will because they just released Kellen Winslow because he wanted to be released. And Tom Brady's going to throw the ball all over the place. Steven Ridley, I don't know if he's going to get the ball as much because Buffalo has a pretty good run defense. But
he's going to be getting the ball. He's going to get in the ball. And if you recall, New England and Buffalo have a history, and New England likes to – I mean, I shouldn't say like. They love to run a score up on Buffalo. They love to run it – for some reason, they love to run a score up on Buffalo. So.
All right. Let's go to Minnesota and Detroit. Minnesota goes to Detroit. Christian Ponder is pretty good. Minnesota's defense is pretty good. Will Detroit put up a fight and win this game? Talk to me, Mike.
They're going to put up a fight, but it's going to be fruitless. I think Minnesota's starting to, you know, hit their win, and I think they're gonna smack up Detroit.
This is a real tough game for me, man. Minnesota's coming on. Detroit's at home. It's up in the air whether Stafford plays or not. This is a real tough game tougher than I think a lot of people think. You know what? I know Minnesota's been playing well, but I have to go. If it's a toss-up, I have to go with the home team. So I go with Detroit in this game.
I think if Sean Hill plays, Megatron has a great game, but they lose. They're going to have to get the ball to Michael Ashore, who will do well, I think. But I also feel as though that Detroit's they're going to feel the remnants of all these fringe players, meaning the unnecessary roughness calls and stuff like that. I really think that they're going to end up having to pay for it at some point. I think it starts this week. Last week, Schwartz made a bad call, or the center, and Hill made a bad decision by trying to get that first down as opposed to just kicking a field goal and extending overtime. So I got Minnesota in this game. Next week I want to talk about the overtime rules. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I think it's a good thing. More exciting games. Let's go to Houston, where Tennessee tries to keep Chris Johnson at a 1.1 rushing average. Tennessee comes in after beating Detroit last week to a hot Houston team where Matt Schaub's elbow is kind of iffy, and Arian Foster is a little nicked up too. But Tennessee win, Mike.
Even though Tennessee, you know, beat Detroit last week, I still think they're the softest team in the league. Houston will go in there and smack them up tomorrow.
They're playing in Houston?
Yeah.
Wow. I like Houston in this game, but I'm going to have a surprise in this game, so just listen to the master plan tomorrow.
All right. That's code for Chris Johnson's going to have a good game.
No.
Well, okay.
No, not right, necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
San Diego goes to Kansas City where McCluster's down. Dwayne Bowe might not play this week. So that means Jonathan Baldwin might have to step up along with Steve Breston and help Matt Castle along with Jamal Charles. Speaking of which, Drone is going to be the backup running back since Peyton Hillis is in a walking boot. San Diego looks to rebound from their bad loss last week versus Atlanta. Ryan Matthews fumbled, and North Turner has intimated that they might lessen some of his touches since he's coming back. Let's hear from it. I know Michael doesn't like Norville, but talk to me, Mike.
For San Diego and who?
Kansas City.
Ooh. I'm going to have to go with them Red Boys out there in Kansas City in that Arrowhead Stadium. They should take that. They should take that. Norville gonna get an L on this one. What are they, 1-2 now?
2-1.
Kansas City's 1-2. San Diego's 2-1.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll even things out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, San Diego going to Kansas City does not play well in Kansas City, has not done well in one of the worst places to play in the NFL for an opponent. I have a surprise in this one too tomorrow. So you want to listen to the master plan? I have another surprise in this one that it may be.
Can you pick somebody?
I like Kansas City. I told you I like Kansas City.
All right, I'm picking Kansas. We're all in agreement thus far. Kansas City wins this game. Let's go to New Jersey, where the 49ers take on who?
The New York Football Jets. How's that? Is that what you wanted to hear? Okay.
Of course.
Just
go ahead, Mike.
Season.
Say again.
I said just in their season.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And that's San Francisco is going to be another nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all on San Fran.
San Francisco. All the way.
And I have another sneaky one in this one.
Mario Manningham. He's going to get off.
Not even. You have no idea what the master has for my listeners tomorrow. You have to listen to know what I'm talking about.
I won't be able to, wife. Making sure I go to church. I ain't been to church in 3 weeks.
It's okay. So. You can catch it on the archives. You'll be surprised. You'll be digging on the wire and saying, who is this guy? But that's okay.
Whatever. All right, Seattle and St. Louis.
I'm okay. Going with St. Louis. Like St. Louis.
All right.
I'm jumping on that bandwagon also. I always say Seattle is a schizophrenic team, and they don't play well. They don't carry well, or they don't travel well, I should say. So I'd like St. Louis, and Jeff Fisher is steadily, week to week, trying to turn that team around.
I'm going to pick Seattle in this game.
I figured you
because,
would.
I know that
like,
it's a funny.
You have a love affair with Seattle.
Well, they've won me money,
mm-hmm.
which I never saw.
Like, he likes
all of
them.
It. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Miami at the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. Does Tannehill put an end to the Arizona Cardinals' winning streak?
Unfortunately, I'm thinking Cardinals could go 4-0.
You really want me to call this game? You really want me to call this game?
Yeah, come on, guys.
No problem. I got two letters for it. N-O. I go with their Arizona. No, they're not going to. No, they're not going to end their winning streak. Arizona, easily. Easily.
Easily?
Easily in this game.
Okay,
we're
going to get some disagreement here. I think Miami wins this game.
No way.
Miami is a potential franchise. I don't even know why you keep sticking up for that team.
Listen, I think Miami wins this game on the strength of 3-4 Kevin called interceptions.
Slim, you was the bomber that sent both me and Jerry this long big text on Facebook, you know, talking about Miami signing Ocho Cinco. Whatever happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey. Let's not bring up Ocho. They made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
We hit a sensitive spot.
Oh, Miami made a mistake by letting them go. Yes.
Oh, okay. You're right. Right. All of the heads of the team had to go in there and go tell that dysfunctional coach that he almost lost his locker room.
Well, that's my point. And that's a rookie head coach making a rookie dumb mistake because he didn't see the benefit of having Chad Johnson.
So,
but it is what it is.
So my point is this: why would you take Miami then if the rookie
because
head coach is not smart enough?
I just told you. 3-4 Kevin called interceptions. That's why. Honestly, I think Kevin Call's going to self-destruct in this game. Let's move on. Oakland at Denver. McFadden is probable with bruised shoulders. We know he's fragile. Peyton Manning is 1-2. Is it time to break out the bad stuff for Mr. Manning, or is it time to say, okay, well, they're going to be 2-2? Mike.
This game has the makings of a serious shootout. Has the makings of a shootout. So you got Peyton Manning. You know, he don't know the difference between a touchdown and an interception now. And you got Carson Palmer over there. Did Bates come back? Oh.
No, he's probably going to be out. He's probably not going to play this week.
Who?
Darius Heyward Bay.
No,
he got hurt.
A concussion. He hasn't passed a concussion test. He doesn't remember what happened and some other stuff, so no, he's not playing. Speaking of which, the Raiders are not at full strength on offense. So that's another thing.
I'm going with Denver. Still got the makings of a shootout.
All right. Jerry?
I have to agree with that. I would go with Denver, and this does have a makings of a shootout. Carson Palmer, believe it or not, has been playing pretty well, and been putting up some fantasy numbers. He's one of these quarterbacks that doesn't get that much respect. He gets overlooked because of his past play, but this year he's been playing his butt off, in my opinion. So I think this is going to be a shootout, but it's the home team wins this thing out. I can't go against Peyton Manning at home.
Okay. We all agree again on Denver. I also say that the issue is, well, not an issue, but with Darius Heyward Bay out, he really wasn't the main target, but he was at least a threat. You have Street. I believe the receiver's name is Street. in Oakland.
Streeter,
thank you. In Oakland, who should have a good game along with Denarius Moore. Now, yeah, you got Champ Bailey and the other guy over there. I think it's Porter, a corner over there in Denver. But it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout. All right, Cincinnati at Jacksonville.
Natty, give me them Natty boys.
Jacksonville.
Right. Ooh, I like Jacksonville as well. I think MJD is going to run all over these boys and have an excellent game. I think Cincinnati got too proud of what they did last week. However, I don't think it's going to be a defensive game. I think it's going to be a defensive game. So we'll see what happens. New Orleans at Green Bay.
Ooh.
New Orleans, 1-2 Green Bay.
I'm going with the Packers. Green Bay Packers. Rodgers. He'll be back. He'll right that ship. He'll get that locker room together.
All right. JT.
New Orleans has got one of the worst defenses in the league. I got to believe the Packers at home, especially when they should have won the last week against a BS play. They're going to wear New Orleans out. This may be another shootout.
Okay. I'm picking New Orleans. I think Drew Brees is going to pull every trick out of the book to get a win. Last week, they should have beaten New Orleans. I mean, they should have beaten Kansas City, but there was an abundance of drops by Jimmy Graham, which you normally don't see. There were just bad plays all around. But I think New Orleans gets a victory in this game. Washington goes to Tampa Bay.
Tough game.
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea who is going to win this game. The Redskins, look for the Redskins running game to be a little bit suspect. We just put Roy Helu on IR, and we picked up Grant. I'm gonna go with Tampa Bay.
What? He's going against his team. Okay.
I mean, I'm not. You know, you asking me to pick the best. You know, what team is? You know, what team
I think
is going to win? I'm gonna be honest. I love my Redskins. I'll ride with them. Ride with them till I die. But looking at this game, it's really a toss up. It is a real toss up. And with our running game, going to be starting to be suspect because I am not sold on Young. You know what I'm saying? I think he's the better. Alfred Morris. I'm not sold on him. I think he's the better running back out of the committee of running backs that they have. You know what I'm saying? All of them are, you know, all of them are probably like B-minus running backs. All of them, at best. But as soon as his high hand plays out, the Redskins' running game will fizzle down to just about nothing. It'll just be Robert Griffin running all over them.
Okay, I mean, I understand that. JT.
This is a tough game, man. Just like McCall was saying. Tough game. Wow. I've been thinking about it when he was talking, and I still really can't come to a decision. I'm just flip a coin and I'll go with the road team. I'll say Robert Griffin makes enough plays to get a win here.
Well, of course I'm going to go with my Redskins, rain, sleet, or snow, unless they play somebody at Ravens and hit their butt. But this is going to be a very, very strong Tampa Bay defensive team. And I don't know if we're going to go to the victory formation or not, but expect some fireworks at the end of that. I think RG3 throws for 300 on this secondary, even though we're going to try to run the ball. My problem is, why have they not gotten Santana Moss more involved in the game?
There's got to be a reason for that.
I don't know, but there's an issue, and they need to get him more involved. But,
well, there's really not an issue, Vic. They the way that they do their the way that they run the offense is they develop it over the year. You know what I'm saying, and they act they work different players in, but they don't show the same over and over again. If you notice, they've been running the Santana, in the end zone until that play is stopped. Then they'll tweak it and add something else to it and something like that, or they'll work more underneath routes and stuff with Santana. But it just so happens that Griffin, Santana's been open, but Santana's been open on the short. But just the longer plays have just developed, and Griffin has been opting for the longer plays, which to our benefit has getting the offense to move. I think that's part of the reason why you don't see Fred Davis in the game as much, which is really a little bit upsetting to me, because I always thought that he wasn't a quarterback's tight end. I said that before on the show. I always thought that he was the better quarterback's type of tight end. He reads the offense, and he knows when the quarterback is in trouble and comes back to the ball. Davis does not come back to the ball. He run his route, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Evidence of that is the play when he had my man Griffin all the way over on the left side. It was against New Orleans. He was all the way on the left-hand side.
He
saw him just over there over on the right, and he was just standing there. And Griffin came back to him. I mean, Griffin has got the skills to do that. You know what I mean? But, a guy like Groth, if he ain't dead, he ain't dead. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I still haven't subscribed to the hype about Fred Davis. He still hasn't shown me enough.
I agree. I would like to see Cooley back, but it is what it is. Let's move on. Last two games. And, Jay, I got to ask you a question, because this is not football related, but you're an older guy and you might have experienced this. My right pectoral keeps jumping. I have no idea why, but hopefully it's not a heart attack. But it just keeps twitching and jumping. Not my left, my right one. Yeah, my right.
Your right one.
That sounds like nerves.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like it's a nerve. You may want to get that checked out with your doctor. Maybe something's going on with your spine or something.
It could be. You know what? It could be an indication of hypertension.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna get it checked out.
Because of what happened to you. I wouldn't, anything that's out of the ordinary, I would get it checked out, for the simple reason the past experience you've had. So I wouldn't play with
that. Well, I think it's because I've been working out a lot, and I've been building up my chest and my upper body. But I don't know. Anyway, last two games so we can get out of here. Giants at Philly. Mike.
Giants at Philly. I'm gonna go with the boys in blue. I think Philly is gonna have, they're gonna struggle. I think, Mike is gonna, try to make a galleon comeback, but I don't think it's enough. I think Eli's gonna have the ball last, and that's where it's gonna end up. Somewhere like 24-21, something like that.
These two teams, in my opinion, when they get together, they try to play their A game. And if each one of these teams play their A game, it's going to be a lot of fireworks, because they have the capability of doing that. I'll take the home team on that. I'll take Philly.
All right. I'm going to take the New York Football Giants I just don't think they have enough firepower to stop or defeat Philly, that is, have enough firepower to defeat the Giants. I know Bradshaw's coming back. I think it's a big mistake to let him start over the young guy, because that young kid, Brown, he is their future. And I think he deserves another opportunity to I think he's earned the opportunity to stay the starter. So if they mix him in a lot more than they do Bradshaw, I think New York wins this easily. And they'll be calling for Andy Reid's job and Michael Vick's job by the end of the game. Monday night, Chi-Town, Dallas. Let's go.
I'm going with the Bears in the navy blue. I think Cutler will bounce back on this game. Dallas is having problems on that offensive line. Look for Romo to be on his back. If he does not figure out a way to get Dez Bryant, and you know he did it. They're definitely gonna lose. If he happens to get the ball to Dez Bryant and upwards of four catches, then they'll have a shot. But if he doesn't get him the ball, and if he remains in that, you know, he's comfortable with Witten and Austin, they're gonna lose. And they're gonna lose ugly.
Now I'm on the air with two Washington Redskins fans that picked against Philly and picked against Dallas.
You had no choice to pick against Philly or New York. I mean, we're going to pick either one.
I'm going with Dallas.
I picked the Giants.
You picked against Philly because most Washington Redskins fans don't like the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't like the Giants either.
Okay. Anyway, you had to make a choice, and you took the lesser of two evils. You took the Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So,
right.
So that, I understand that, and I'm taking Dallas because Dallas is going to win this game. Not with any bias.
I don't have a bias. I don't know if my
dad does. I didn't say you did.
Yeah, I think Jerry has a little guilt there. But
no guilt.
I believe that it will be a Chi-Town heat wave, and Jerry Jones is going to sit up in that big palace of his and curse the day that he decided to name Dez Bryant his number one receiver and turn the reins over to Tony Romo.
My question is this. Since you just made that statement, do you think Garrett named Dez Bryant the number one receiver? Or was that Jerry Jones?
That was Jerry, Mickey Ficken Jones.
Okay.
And
who's the coach?
It doesn't matter. Jerry Jones.
Okay. I just wanted
Jerry
to get that
Jones.
Clear now. Who's the coach?
Yeah, let's keep it clear.
Is it Al Davis or Jerry Jones? Or who's the coach? Al Davis?
You understand
what I'm saying here?
I got you.
I mean, I feel you and all, but... I'm gonna tell you what I like that youngin. I like the kid. You know what I'm saying? He done had some bumps, some bruises, and some scrapes and stuff like that. But I like that youngin. I think that youngin can change a game. You get him the ball and up with the five times a game, and I'm telling you, you're gonna be in any game you're in. Once the Cowboys figure that out and figure out how to get him the ball for real. You know what I'm saying? And come up off of their arrogance and stuff like that, and get young in that ball, they'll win more games. But if they continue to throw the ball to Terrence Austin, or throw the ball to Witten, and you know, and all that kind of carrying on, they're gonna have a problem.
The problem with Dez Bryant, they'll be more than willing to throw the ball, but they never know where he's going to be. That's the problem.
No route tree.
That's the problem. He freelances too much, doesn't know where to go. So Tony Romo is doesn't have any confidence enough in him at times to throw the ball to him. That's why he throws it to Witten, because he knows where Witten's going to be, where he's supposed to be. He knows where he throws to Miles Austin, because he knows where Miles Austin's going to be.
But
he
look,
doesn't know what sometimes when Dez Bryant decides to go off.
But you know what? It don't even need that much thought. That youngin is just that talented. He is just that talented. Hell, I can come in there and quarterback for him. Nah, better yet, my son can go in there and quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Just throw it to him. Throw it up. Just throw it to him. I'm telling you, that youngin can make a play. I don't see a cornerback in this league that's able to deal with him. I don't even think it's two of them, a cornerback and a safety, that can deal with that youngin. That's how much I like him. I do. I do not look forward to seeing him when we play him. I do not look forward to it. I hate every time. But that youngin, it don't take that much thought, Jerry. It don't. Even if he freelancing and stuff like that, he over there, throw the ball up. Throw it up. Let him get it. Go get it. Make something happen. I guarantee you he'll do it. Guaranteed.
Well, fellas, we made our picks. Time to end this show. Parting shots real quick before we go. Go ahead, Mike.
I really don't have any parting shots today. I hope that, yes, I do. I hope that this guy, what's his name? Serrano, whatever his name is. Hope he does not have a victory formation for the Redskins, because we definitely would be shooting arrows at that joint.
Oh, my God. Rick Chiano. All right. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. Tune in tomorrow to Master Plan. Besides me naming down the each game and about the fantasy players in each game, I'm going to be giving you some players to be looking out for that most people have not looked out for, that have a strong possibility somewhere near down the road to be able to make a contribution on their team and into fantasy.
Right. I wanted to do that today, but I'm glad we didn't, because that means you have a lot of show to do tomorrow. I may or may not call, and we'll see.
It's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm a big boy. I can handle it.
I know, but it works so much better when I'm there.
You think so, huh?
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Mr. Jeff SP. It's the Fan Sports Politics. Every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we do this, and we do it well. Sunday is the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Tuesday is the Fast Bikini, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's p.m. Thursdays, MSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Fridays, no chasing.
Don't forget about Macau.
On Wednesdays, you have Grown Soul and Real Talk, that adult X-rated stuff that he's talking about. Give him time, channel, and stuff.
Really? Really? Look, on a real talk, look, I'm the guy that says all the things to women that you wish you could say. And starting October 9th, I'm going to have a young lady. We're going to start a show called Speak On That, and she's going to say all the things that women wish they could say to men. Yeah, definitely. It's not X-rated, you know, but it is adult.
Okay, things that you wish you could say. If I can't say it, that means it's X-rated.
No. You like to watch the Disney show. You like to watch the Disney Channel and think that everything's good. No, we don't. You know, and you know ESPN is under the Disney tree, though. You know that, right?
Yes, I know that. Just be quiet. Anyway... JT,
you know what time it is, and I'm going to say it short and sweet. You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back, you in the right place. So
take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasies, books, and politics. Fantasies, books.